Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're continuing today a topic we've been looking at all week long, a central truth about the faith and a reality that we're living together if we're baptized into Christ, and that is the reality of the kingdom. And it came from the gospel reading for Monday, which is from Mark's gospel, chapter 1, where Jesus, after having been baptized by John, there'd be a theophany, a revelation of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I talked on Monday about just the beauty and the reality of all that. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, I encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the radio programs there, or go to download the Ave Maria app. You can listen to in either place and whatever it's convenient for you. But Jesus then went forward from the waters of baptism, went into the desert, and went mano a mano, he said, against the devil. The devil tried to tempt him in the most spectacular ways, that he seduces so many other people. And Jesus resists him with the truth of the word of God and goes forth under the anointing of the Holy Spirit into Nazareth and stands up in the temple, takes the Isaiah scroll, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, obtain sight for the blind, and to announce the year of the Lord's favor." That's what he's doing. He's declaring, and he puts down the Isaiah scroll and he says, "Today this reading is fulfilled in your hearing." He's declaring himself the Messiah. He's the Messiah King, because the Father's destiny was to put the Messiah on the throne to rule over all things. And then he goes directly from there and he encounters a person demonized, and he delivers that person, exercises the demonic powers over him, sets him free. And there's a visible sign of the kingdom. There's internal signs. There's internal things we're going to talk about today of how the kingdom grows. But there's also a demonstration of the Spirit in power of the presence of the kingdom. And Jesus is delivering people from demonic possession or oppression. Jesus healing the sick. Jesus raising the dead. Jesus saying there's a whole different dimension here. Death has no hold over those who are ultimately in the kingdom. That is, we're going to die a natural death for sure. But Jesus gives us signs that confirm the preaching of what he's saying on the larger scale. He gets his attention. I mean, he heals people because he loves them, but he gets people's attention. And people have no hope. People who are up against spiritual darkness in a way that they're enslaved or their child is enslaved, and Jesus sets them free. And even death itself, the ultimate dominion and power, Jesus speaks to his friend Lazarus and says, "Come forth." He speaks to his friend Lazarus, "Come forth." And the dead man hears his voice and obeys. These are signs of the kingdom, the presence and power of the kingdom in a person, the person of Jesus. He brings a reality of new life, of absolute freedom, of love beyond our wildest imagining. It's all there. So as we've been talking this week about dimensions of the kingdom, we've talked about God's reign in the person of Jesus is really the starting point, present in him in a complete way. The kingdom's about offering repentance and salvation, repentance and calling people to a decision. God made us free. We got ourselves in a bad situation, that is the human race, and we're enslaved to temptations, world, flesh, devil, dominions, powers, but we still have free will. And the Lord offers the kingdom. He doesn't force it on us. He reveals it. And he says, "Do you want it? If you do, repent. Turn from the direction you're moving in. Lay everything down in your life that's inconsistent with the kingdom." And it's hard to do. And Jesus said, what I want, repentance and baptism, which he calls us to, is the intention of your heart. Are you ready to give your heart to him? Because he came to give his heart to you. Radical love, total love. And so it begins with, as St. John Paul II wrote in Redemptoris Missio, what is this conversion? What is this repentance? So it's it's from the beginning a decision that is total and radical, a total and radical agreement with who the Lord says he is and how he diagnoses our life and our need, a total and radical surrender to everything he's calling us to. It can only happen through grace. It's God's work that even gets our attention in the first place. But he wants us to make a free choice. And that free choice is to obey him right from the beginning. What is that first step of obedience? Repent. Change the direction of your life. Don't have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. It's all in. That's the intention of the heart. But we'll find out. We find out as we go. I really did want to say, Lord, take my heart. And that's all that he asked for us. Lord, give me the power to give my heart to you and keep giving my heart to you. And that yes every day. And when we stumble and fall, we repent again and we stand up and we keep going. We're moving away from a death-directed destiny to new life in a person, Jesus Christ. That's the work of the kingdom. That's our response to the kingdom of God. So we enter it through repentance and faith, the kingdom. It begins that transformation of heart by the Holy Spirit. That's what he's after. The love that exists between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. It's like heart to heart, the reality, the dynamic from which between the Father and the Son, all of which is this, which is the source of all good things, all creation, all life, all everything, the best of what human beings can conceive of, the heart of the Father and the heart of the Son. And our hearts are wounded, broken, sinful. Jesus comes to do that heart surgery so that heart to heart, we can be united, our heart to his, to enter into that love between the Father and the Son. And that's a covenant love, we said, right? And it's already present. It's already present. But it will come to completion when we die and die in the Lord. And whatever purification we need in the heart, he will do. But Jesus' passion and his promise to the Father, he's come to rescue, come to save us. And he's going to present us to the Father complete. He's going to exercise his authority over us as our King, as our Lord, as the second Adam. We just have to say yes again and again and again. More, Lord. Take it, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Receive the graces that he's offered us in the sacraments. Listen to the word of God. Take it up, chew on it, live among God's people, enter Jesus' mission. That's all, that's what he wants to bring us into. And of course, as I said yesterday, the fullness of the kingdom is revealed in Christ's passion, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father. Because he is revealed. As the apostles said, we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. What we have seen, what we've touched, we declare to you, John said in his first letter. They saw, touched, walked with, ate with the risen Jesus Christ. And they caught a whole nother level of the glimpse of his glory. They saw him ascend into heaven where he sat down at the right hand of the Father. In full glory. The kingdom has been established. The Son of God is on the throne. The rule of God is unfolding. The offer of salvation has come. The offer of a new life, the offer of eternal life. And that life is the kingdom of God. And it's sharing life with the Father and with the Son. Friends, the saints are so helpful because, and thank God for the church raising up those saints and helping us see deeply into the level of work the Lord did, and the Holy Spirit did, and how much the kingdom came alive in them, and how much they left the world. They were in the world, but they weren't of the world. Ironically, they left the dominion that's in the world, is what that really means. The claims of the world over their lives, the claims of the flesh, the claims of the devil, all of that, they left it and said, no, I found the pearl of great price. That's another way that the scripture talks about the kingdom, a pearl, a deep diver, the depth of all things. They found the pearl way down. And the pearl of great price was worth everything. It's like the treasure hidden in the field. These are ways Jesus described the kingdom of God. It's like a man who came upon a treasure, the most beautiful treasure he's ever seen. And he went and sold everything he had and he bought the field so he could possess the treasure. It's worth everything. And that's what the saints came to, friends. They really believed it. And they didn't worry about fame anymore. They didn't worry about power, treasure, influence, popularity. It just didn't have a hold on them anymore. They weren't even afraid to suffer at a certain point, so many of them. And they suffered, they did, just like Jesus. They had a passion, many of them, that they had to endure. But it was purifying. It was a purifying fire, and they knew it, and they received it. And the Lord purified them again and again and again and again, and he demonstrated his glory, not in necessarily a sign and a wonder, which he did in other times, but even in the suffering that they had, he purified them, that suffering and pain and all the stuff everybody's afraid of, it's not enough to stop the work of God. And God uses it to put the old man to death and to purify the heart. And then the kingdom is also spoken about by Jesus, like the yeast, the leaven in the dough. You know, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it all leavened. The leaven disappears. We don't see it, right? We don't see the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in us. And the Holy Spirit works every day, silently, transforms us from within. Right? It's not external conformity that's pushing us. It's the power of God in a free human heart that's being healed more and more every day. And we agree. And before you know it, guess what? What does the Holy Spirit do? Fruits of the Spirit begin to grow in our lives. He does it. It's a work of God. We just keep saying yes. We keep surrendering. We keep hungering. We keep thirsting. We keep coming after him. We keep saying yes to him. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. That's where he's leading us. And then that's where we have impact in the world as he's transforming us. It's not just our smarts and our resources and all the rest. It's the reality of the kingdom coming alive in us. That's why the saints were so potent, because the kingdom was so present in them. It's not because they were born that way, but because they kept yielding. They kept seeking, they kept hungering, and Jesus kept feeding and filling. And that's what he wants us to do. And the more we do that, there will be fruit bearing, and he will reveal that fruit bearing at the end of our lives. How much did we hunger? How much did we thirst? How much did we surrender? How much did we pursue? Let's go all in, friends. Let's say yes to all the Lord desires to do in us. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.